Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
The blood just sort of squirting up the ceiling. It's just, I'm just lying there going, fuck me.
Are you originally from St. James, are you?
Well, I'm originally from London, but when I moved here, we moved to St. James.
What was his words? He says, the sausage ratio
down in St. James's was well. It was just all fellas, he said. There wasn't much birds down there. It was just mad with fellas.
See, yeah, the St. James is like, there's a couple of good boxers, like.
There's your Potty, me,
Rook,
Ray, Walsh, fucking hell.
Fuck yeah, and that's a small place, like.
It's tiny, look.
So who is are you, Potty, Rory,
D?
Fuck on, there's four right away.
Stephen Webb used to box.
Is that where you're from? Like, were you boxing from Holy Trinity?
Aye.
Are you still there?
No, I train in Liverpool, but
do you?
I still train there, like, when I'm back home, do you know what I mean?
Who are you fighting next? No fight.
Nothing, I'm just waiting on news.
Taking over,
just taking over.
Do you just train all the time anyway, regardless?
I just train then when I go to Liverpool, it's like more intense. You know?
See, when you're not in camp, do you still like spar or not?
No, not really when I'm back home. Well, that's a lie, because I was sparring 2 weeks ago, or last week. Then again, yeah, with spar, not as much, like, because that's why I go away to train, because there's no one here to spar, and the coaching isn't as good as being away. Oh. So, with being away, there's so many people to spar over in Liverpool or England, you know what I mean? People travel up and down the country, as whereas there's no one here.
You have to go down to Dublin, maybe.
Exactly. Oh. Even at that, there's, you know, there's probably one or two people my weight, you know what I mean?
What, and then, middleweight?
Late middle.
What's on KT?
Late middle,
69.8. 80 odds, I was giving yours.
Is that what you said? Like, you're far bigger.
I'm far bigger than I fucking, but I'm
but even seeing your fate, like, you're massive.
I know, just rehydrating, do you know what I mean? But then whenever I'm on the scales, I'm fucking again.
But how much can you pull, like, on from the scales till the, like, in the ring?
As much as you want, like.
Seriously?
Would you, like, an Aldo's or something?
I put 17 pounds on.
I only know KT. What's that? A stone six?
14, a stone's 14 pounds, so. £17 is like a stone and a quarter.
Does camp drain you? Does it, Kim?
Nah, like, I make the weight okay, do you know what I mean? So, it's alright, but it's mentally tough being away, do you know what I mean? Like, being away from your friends and family, fucking.
Your camp in Liverpool, and you're over there for weeks.
So I'd be over there for like 3-4 months before fight, do you know what I mean?
Is your missus allowed over, is she?
Who's in the stable over there? Is it a good gym you're in over?
I've actually just changed trainers. So nobody actually knows yet.
Oh, I know, 100%.
I was training with Joe McNally and Declan O'Rourke. So, like Liam Smith, Josh Taylor, Dennis McCann, Pedro O'Leary, Gary Colley was training for a while there. So,
who is he with now? He's the guy with the tattoos, isn't he?
He's just back down south with his amateur coach, I think. So,
we asked Burnsy the other day, so we had a wee quirkfire quiz for him, like who would win hypothetical fights from Belfast. And the last one was Jamie Conlon versus Gary Colley. Gary Colley would stop him in the first round. Fuck, it was hilarious.
Every single fight went the first round.
We had Martin Rogan against Frankie Crothers. Just loads of mad ones. Mad ones. Funny, mate. Gary Colley, he lost, and then he came back and won there, didn't he?
Yeah, he got knocked out, didn't he?
Last May, and then he's won two after it.
Did you ever spar MMA people?
I used to years ago, like, I used to train, like, always go up to Big Donard, up the unit, so he's trained there, and he used to take classes, and I would Gareth Smalley, Paul Hughes, Keelan Lockhart, like we always used to.
Keelan Lockhart's in Liverpool, isn't he? Not where he trains. He trains in his.
Yeah, he does. I don't know if he's still there. I know he's out in America at the moment, or he was anyway. I've seen him training out there, but yeah, he's not far from me in Liverpool. Like.
I seen you had a post. I don't know. You'd done it a couple of years ago, and I can remember it. You were saying before you retire, you would like to do an MMA fight. Is that still? Are you still looking to do it?
Yeah, I'm always somebody that wants to try new things, and I love sports. I mean, I play fucking everything. So, like when I'm back home, 5-a-side last night. Do you know what I mean? Going to play paddle tomorrow.
What's that?
Like paddle.
What is it?
It's just like tennis. Like tennis, but it's like a cage around it. And there's like different rules, and then it's just a bigger bat. Do you know what I mean? Or racket, bat. So
is that like on a squash court? Is that what you?
It's basically on a squash court, but it's like it's just like tennis. It's just tennis, but only with a cage around it. And there's just the rules are slightly different.
What age are you, Keem?
27, 28, couple months, 2 months.
And then see a peak boxer. What age does a boxer peak at? What's their best years?
Don't know. I think like it depends what weight you're. But I think round about my weight, normally where I am now, 28 to 32, I would say.
Aww. Not those 35. And
but he's lighter, do you know what I mean? You get away with it when you're a bit lighter. Don't know why, but you do.
What weight does he fight at?
He's super featherweight, I think. So that's like 59 kilo.
Bollocks, he's lighter than me. He's lighter than me. Aren't those big, like? You watch his fight tomorrow?
Aye, obviously I'm good friends with him. We box in the same amateur gym in Holy Trinity together, so...
So this will not be out the follow me. So what's your predictions then? Because the fight will be over.
Ando wins. I think Ando can outpoint him or can stop him. Do you know what I mean? I think his boxing ability is superior to Warrington's. That's not discrediting Warrington, but Warrington's kind of a one trick pony. He comes with fight and he comes with a high tempo. But whereas Ando is technically better and his boxing ability and his boxing IQ is better, I'd say, and he can also punch hard. Wow. So he's kind of got a bit of everything, Ando.
I seen Ando. It was a clip of him on TikTok, and you would probably know because it says he asked the reporter. The reporter says, "So why is it the IBO? Is Josh Warrington have the IBO title?"
To talk the IBF.
Why are they not fighting for it?
So they're fighting for the IBO, I'm not sure, but the IBF. Josh Warrington isn't in the rankings, or he wasn't ranked next. There's a guy called Nunes, I believe.
Because he was saying, "You tell me."
It sounded like it was politics.
It's all politics. Like, I think Nunes is next in line to fight for it. So Josh shouldn't be fighting for it. So that's why they pulled it. Do you know what I mean? But it doesn't make sense because I heard that if Ando loses, that it's vacant. Do you know what I mean? So surely, if Ando didn't lose the belt and it had to vacate it because he lost. Even though when it was on the line, surely then it should just be Ando and Nunes next anyway.
So is that the way it'll work? So see if he beats he does want that belt.
It's still his belt. It's now like he's still the IBF champion.
Nunes be his mandatory after this one?
What is like? What's the Champions League? Like, what's the best belt you can get in your division? Because there are so many belts. I don't know.
Preference. Like so. The only four belts that matter is the IBF World Title, the WBO World Title, the WBA. The WBC, but there is no one that's superior than the other. Do you know what I mean? They're all world titles, but just different organizations. My favorite, my personal favorite, is the WBC. Green and gold. It just stands out more than all the other belts. I'd fucking take any of them.
How many fights are you away? Game money, dragon.
I was number 8 in the world, or number. I think I'm number 10 now, just because of inactivity. But I'm ranked number 8 in the world, or number 10 in the world.
Have you ever been beat?
Nah, that's weird. I'm still unbeaten. I've been beating the amateurs. Like,
can you remember your amateur record?
I had over 150 amateur fights, but I had like 98 or something like that in Ireland and lost 12, 13 times, and then the rest went to nationals.
Would you have been late middle back in your amateur or?
I fought every weight. Fought it late middle, and then light heavy. But light heavy was just like a one off. I was turning pro. And I had a hand injury, and then my amateur coach wanted me to stay amateur for one more tournament. So I didn't really have time to lose the weight to get down. So I just entered the Irish Elites, and I ended up fucking winning them.
Did you? What kg would that be? 81.
So I fight 11 kg lighter than that now. Do you know what I mean?
So see, we were saying earlier, see a lot of boxers, they're very well spoken. Do you just get taught that? Or is that just...
I think it probably just comes from from doing so many interviews and stuff. And
I try to picture myself upper. I couldn't do it.
What, like
even I couldn't
do
it.
There may not be no support network or for anyone who might struggle in front of, like, do you know what I mean? Like,
you just have to adapt it.
I think I always tell people, like, who's new to the game or who doesn't like being in front of the cameras, I just be like, don't think there's a camera there. It's just a chat. You just have, like, right now, we're just having a chat. Like, I don't picture that there's a camera there. Do you know what I mean? It's just a chat amongst mates or people you know, or do you know what I mean? Or 100%. Even at press conferences. I don't picture that there's loads of people looking at me or there's cameras there. I'm just having a chat with whoever the promoter is. That's the way I vision it. Do you know what I mean? Because when you be like, oh, fuck, there's a camera in front of me. Oh, fuck, they're staring at me.
Then you get nervous.
Then you get nervous, do you know what I mean? And you start muddling your words and not knowing what to say. As well as just...
You can't notice that a lot of time when people, you're like, I fouls on it. He's just like, training camp went well. It's all about Saturday night. And then that's all he says. Do you know what I mean?
But some people, like, Anto Kikachi, for instance, he's not a big talker. Just want to fight. Do you know
he's
I mean?
Getting better, but
he's getting better.
He sounds like Carl Frampton. Like, he really does. Like, if I was listening to him earlier on, I was like, he sounds like Frampton.
Well, he speaks well, definitely.
But the more you do it, the more you get used to it, and the more, I mean, you're comfortable with doing them. I mean,
is boxers weird about who to spar with?
Certain boxers are, yeah, but it doesn't bother me. A spar means nothing. Spars there to be learning. Do you know what I mean? To be improving. And people go in the spars to win the spars and be like, oh, I beat him up in the spar, but it means nothing.
There's like a written rule about what happens in the spar stays.
I stayed in the spar, but that never happened.
Speaking of sparring, you sparred Canelo, didn't you?
No, I sparred Billy Joe.
Is he still boxing?
Not at the moment, but I heard he's making a comeback.
I remember he was on the boat Nando's. Can you remember it? Did you ever hear about it there?
I think
so. He was carrying on badly in our Nando's in Dublin, wasn't
he? He was over here because Tyson Fury was fighting. And then Deontay Wilder was over here because they were making that fight after. I don't know what it was. Someone said it was a glass, but it wasn't. He threw like a butterfly chicken or something at Deontay Wilder and then split and then Deontay Wilder chased him.
Yes, I can remember that now. I wasn't staged.
That wasn't staged. No. Obviously, Billy Joe and Fury are close and they're probably consider each other family. Yeah. And Fury and Wilder always were heated. So Billy Joe's just mental, like, it just doesn't care. Like, I went out to Fort Ventura to spar him for the Canelo fight, and he's just... what you see on social media, he's far from that. He is a down-to-earth guy. He's a really nice person. But then he plays up a bit, you know what I mean? As most people do, but just being...
He's a traveller, isn't he? It's in their blood, just to be mad. I think he actually got banned. Was he letting drive his car as well? Was something happening like that?
He did something... Some junkie or some like homeless person on the road, he called him over and videoed it and was like, I'll give you X amount if you punch that person. What will cost you?
Is that what he does?
Just stupid. Like, he used to do all these mad stuff and just get himself in trouble, but he didn't care. Like, it's just like you said, he's a traveler, they don't care.
It's different, isn't it? Like,
it's different. So, but now he's down to earth, like, nice guy.
I remember one of Fury fights. Because a lot of travelers go and match him in the audience, so we're all just beating the fuck out of each other.
There's always murder in them.
Who would be the biggest name in you've met through boxing?
That's a tough question. Roy Jones Jr. probably. Vasiliy Lomachenko.
Have you met Fury?
I've met Fury.
Have
Fury
you?
Fury messed me whenever I got stabbed. Just wishing me all well and stuff. But I would say...
Roy Jones would be the best.
Someone from Roy Jones is... Like, one of his mates that manages things for him was actually messaging me my last fight in August there, because he was doing the one that Troy McKenna was fighting. He coaches, Roy Jones Jr. coaches him.
Mamoon. That's right.
Roy Jones coaches him or manages him, something like that. So he had heard about me through one of my friends from England, who's a big DJ, and they kind of tried to set up like a meeting. I don't know why I wanted to, because he was my idol growing up, and I've always said in interviews, like, I kind of, not that I try to copy his style, but I would take pointers from his style, do you know what I mean? And I don't know whether he's seen that or whether someone's told him about me, like my mate, and he got his person who deals with all his like management stuff to contact me and wanted to meet up with me, which would have been sick. But I didn't actually get to meet him that time because something happened. He wasn't over for the fight, I don't think.
Oh, I was just there, that's right, because Jerome was expecting Roy Jones to be there, and he was saying that it was his idol.
Hey, you were saying there when you were stabbed, came were you in a coma at one point, were you?
No, I wasn't in a coma, no. I was closer because I'd lost a lot of blood, obviously. Like, I remember, like, they were saying about getting a blood transfusion and stuff like that, but thankfully it wasn't in my coma.
Can you tell us what happened?
I just won a gold medal out in Paris in a multinational tournament. I came back and I was out wasn't celebrating because I wasn't drinking, but it was more like just let the hair down for a week or for a night and then back to training because I was meant to fight against America the week after. And was in Thompson's, came out, went to McDonald's, was queuing up for McDonald's, and a group of lads just started an argument and it threw like a cup, a McDonald's cup, and it hit me and went over my ex. So obviously I've stepped out and been like, what are you, like, I actually didn't know who it was, but I was like, I'd noticed someone I knew. I said to Demons, who was that? And he went, Demons over there. So I walked over.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Playing that, like, just as you do, apology, mate. Like, what are you, like, what are you doing?
Did they know who you were?
I don't know if they did, or I didn't know them. And when he called it, they were like, it wasn't me. And I was like, it was someone seen you. And they were like, why, what are you gonna do about it? I was like, I'll smash you about this place, mate. And his mate started laughing, went, no, you won't. I went, I'm telling you right now, I'll smash every single one of you about this, about this place. And then he was like, go. So I had to take my watch and my jacket off. And then I looked down, my ex was taking her watch and jacket off, and I was like,
fuck's sake,
I can't.
Was she in the fight?
So I was like, I can't really put her through, that's not right to do. So I was like, you are idiots, and just walked away. And then next thing, one of them like showed racial abuse and then like approached me, and then one of them's like chinned me, and then I've chinned him, and then it's just all kicked off, and fucking I've been hit with a bottle.
Was it a glass bottle?
No, I got hit with a bottle, and I've never been dropped in the ring or out in the street, touch wood. And I remember just hitting the dirt after he hit me with a bottle and thinking, if I don't get up, I'm dead here. It's going to kick the head of me. So I got up and chased him. I've caught him. And then the rest of it's kind of a blur. Like, I've seen the CCTV and stuff. Yeah, and then next thing, my ex had pulled. The only thing I can remember is my ex had pulled me off one of them. Like, but loads of people were in. So there was like 30 of them. But there was loads of people in town that knew me or knew of me. Yeah. And they had seen it. So they jumped in. Like, I didn't even. Some of them I didn't even know. I was fighting one of them. And I was on top of them. And then my ex had pulled me off. I'm like, right, that's enough. And then as he's pulled me off, been like,
you're bleeding.
She's like, the fuck's happened to your face? You're facing a really bad way here, Keeban. And obviously, being a boxer, I was like, it's probably a cut. A black eye or my eye swollen out or something. Like, it's nothing major. I'm like, I'm all right. And I tried, like, I seen the guy run off, so I've tried to run.
The adrenaline was flowing then.
So she's grabbed me again and been like, you're facing a really bad way. I was like, I'm fine. And then I looked down and, like, covered in blood. And I was like, I'm fine, right, let's just go home. And then next thing, the cops and the ambulance pulled up. They've obviously, like, the cops had got their, like, first aid kit, and like, we wrapped me in this thing. I was like, man, I literally just go home, take a plaster, and I'll be fine.
That's a drink talk.
I wasn't drinking.
Oh, are you not?
Boxer talk.
Alex.
Do you know what I think it was? I didn't feel nothing, so I'm like, I'm fine here. Do you know what I mean? Like, even though it was blood on me, I'm like, I didn't. Like,
you
there was loads of people that run around, like big Conor Carmichael, Michael Downey, and all from Thompson's. Run around to me because they heard about it, and like, they'd seen my face like open. Do you know what I mean? I just remember McDonough's face, like, he kind of went grey and like looking at me.
And that's when you realized them.
I realized whenever, like, one of the cops was like trying to wrap me in this thing, and I was like, man, I'll go home and put a plaster on it. And he was like, he laughed at me and was like, it's gonna be more than a plaster you need. And I just went, fuck, this is bad. And then sat in the ambulance.
That's it.
They goes all the way down. Jesus. Here.
Hey, mate, and that's so close to your throat.
That's an
inch lower, to bled in 12 seconds.
Is that what they say?
It says. But I knew, when I really knew it was bad, was whenever I was in the back of the ambulance, they were like, we're going to bypass 3 hospitals here because we need to get you to to the ulcer for like plastic surgery and micro surgery and whatever else. I didn't feel numb, so I was like, whatever, like, just get me home.
You don't have to say anything, but did he get done for Alex?
Nah, I didn't get done. They're trying to do me, fuck's sake.
But Alex,
so mad. Like, it's the justice system and over here is just a joke. Like,
at turn, it's like Big Brother. Like,
in the CCTV, you don't see him actually stab me, or whoever it was. What do you call it? It's like behind a big pillar. so you don't see it. The camera that's caught it doesn't see it. So I was like, I obviously still want to. There were people who threw names forward saying that they were involved, and I didn't know who it was, but I was like, listen, I want someone done. Not even for my sake, but the fact that they running about with a blade, you know what I mean? They could do it to someone else, you know what I mean? So they were like, well, prosecution service were like, if you continue with this case, we're going to prosecute you for a fray.
What's happening?
So assault. So I was like, go ahead. She's like, I'll win that case because one, it was 30 on the one, and two, you can see in the CCTV that they've attacked me. I was instigated by them. And so, but because I got dropped with a bottle and I got up and chased him, because I chased him, I'm not seen as an innocent party. So if I'd have walked away, I'd have been seen as an innocent party. But if I'd have walked away, they'd have just fucking attacked me again. Like, they attacked me in the first place for no reason. So just, if I walked away, they're going to attack me anyway. So I have to defend myself. It's self-defense. That's not the way.
That's mad. That's not the way. You're clearly the victim, and you can't even fuck on.
And that was massive at the time. Exactly, like, I was fucking all over the news. I can remember it.
Exactly. But do you know, I don't even care. Like, it.
Do you have an idea of who it was?
Nah.
Seriously?
Nah, I actually don't. I have no clue, and that's one of the things that fried my head for years. Like, after, it's been 7 years now, but so I went through rough times then, so I mean, like, mentally hit rock bottom. And as a man with pride, as a boxer, as a fighter, I mean, you've pride and ego, and I felt like I got validated. I'd never ever been in that situation before, and I've a lot of pride, so it affected me mentally, but and it is what it is. It happened and I'm still here and I'm fine.
We would have set you back a bit too.
Obviously, yeah, set me back big time, but like I say, I'm here and that's all that matters, you know what I mean? And listen, they'll piss someone else off one day
I'll catch up on it.
What year was that?
2017.
Is that how long ago it was already? I can remember that, like, fucking that.
But here, I tell you what, that sums up the city centre in a nutshell, or like,
I know.
That started over something, what was it, chips or something? No,
someone just threw a McDonald's jump. Trinkets, you know what I mean? I don't know whether it, unluckily, it hit me, you know what I mean? Or it was aimed at me, but it hit me and one thing led to another. And then,
see, if that was vice versa, you'd be caught in 2 seconds.
1,000,000%.
It's all
1,000,000%. Like, the fact that they tried threatening to charge me just shows what the justice system
is about. You know what
I
mean?
Like, I've been stabbed, near lost my life, got attacked. Like, there's CCTV evidence of me being attacked, but because I didn't walk away and I'm a boxer, I'm not seen as innocent party. But I've always just said, like, obviously I struggled mentally after it, but my way of getting back at them is being successful in boxing. Do you know what I mean? I was just like, I could have went down two routes. I could have went down a road of seeking revenge and messing my whole life up and going to jail, or I could just do what I was doing and stay on the straight road to achieve what I wanted to achieve in boxing. And thankfully, I've done that. So,
how many stitches did you get?
I don't even know. I think there was like over 100. Like, there was 50 stitches on the outside, and then like, there had to be stitches on the inside. So I got a thing called micro surgery. I don't even know. But there's loads of stitches, like there's all those stitches on the inside and then loads on the outside. So, because whenever I had initially went in D&E, they were like, right, we need to get this closed now. And they were like, we can't even give you any anesthetic. We have to get this closed. You're losing way too much blood.
Alex.
So I just land on the bed being like, what the fuck? So whenever one of the doctors like went to pull Robin, what the police put on, like the blood just starts squirting up the ceiling. And it's just, I'm just lying there going, going on here.
You had been out, so you had a few drinks in you, didn't you?
No, he wasn't.
Oh, you had no drinks? I thought that was maybe getting you bad a wee bit. No, not freaking out.
Fuck. So, you know, like, I think I didn't freak out because I felt okay. I didn't feel pain. I felt more embarrassed. Like I said, a lot of pride, and I felt embarrassed as if I'd been violated, do you know what I mean? And I didn't feel pain. I wasn't freaking out or anything, do you know what I mean? I was just like, I don't know, I'm just real relaxed in the situation. Like, I was like, what do you all make? Like, my brother and sister come in crying their eyes out, and I'm not an emotional person, do you know what I mean? I'm like, what are you making a big fuss over? I'm fine.
Did they have to put you out at any point?
Yeah, so they was like, we need to get this closed. So two doctors, so as one pulled it, the other one was stitching. So got it closed, I had 16, 17 stitches to close it, and then I had to go to like my own wee room to wait on surgery. And there was like, I think they said there was like 5-6 people in surgery before me, but they'll see me on the Monday. Because, like, this happened at, like, early hours of Monday morning. Like, we were out Sunday. I was like, sweet. I'll just get the photo up. There's a photo of where the stitches started to break. So I couldn't open my mouth.
The first set of stitches before you went in the surgery?
They started to break. So he was like, I couldn't speak. And I was, like, choking on blood. So I, like, hit the wee buzzer. And they come around. And I was like, they're like, what's wrong? And I was like, this is swelling up and the stitches are breaking. And I looked at him and was like, right, we need to get you in now. And then brought me to the surgery, and then had surgery, and I was fine after, like, so.
It's fucking mad or something.
Mad, like, but That's mad how things can just happen, like, just out of nowhere, do you know what I mean? So, it was not there, just,
Oh, fuck.
The stitches started to break and started swelling, do you know what I mean? And then...
Jeez, look like...
It's a bad, it's bad. Like, what they say, half an inch lower?
Yeah, half an inch, because it goes all the way down to, like, here, so half an inch lower to hit my jugular.
Half an inch lower, I wonder what you've been able to... No, I said
half an inch lower and it bled out in 12 seconds, so I had no chance. Like, as soon as I'd hit your jugular, like, I'd been chinned, you know what I mean?
See, boxing, like, the boxer's not trying to hit you, and that's it.
Like, one of the first things I said to the doctor, like, literally was like, when can I get back to boxing? Like, surgery done. Like, so, like, let's not worry about that. Let's just focus on recovering and whatever else. And I was thinking, is my career done, like?
Yeah.
But now, because I got micro surgery or whatever else, it's like it's never going to open. I had to go like to a plastic surgeon after and all, and it's like it'll never open. So, because that was my main worry, to me, like, it was fucking gonna stop.
See, if you weren't a boxer, what do you think you would do? Have you ever thought about it?
I've been boxing since I was 7, so like I've been 20 years. You know what I mean? So I've never had to think about it. You know, even throughout school, because I had a decent amateur career, I was always boxing internationally for Ireland or winning national titles. So I always knew from a young age boxing is what I wanted to do. Do you know what I mean? I realised at a young age from 14, like I'm talented. Like I can, if I put the work in, I can achieve something here. And so I've never really fought, but like I used to do a door, used to work in a bar. I've used to be a plumber. Do you know what I mean? I think probably would be something to do with the gym. I've always been sporty. Do you know what I mean? I've always like played football, boxing growing up, a bit of Gaelic and hurling when I was younger and stuff like that. So I think I'd always be into something to do with sports, but.
Do you ever have to drag yourself to the gym? Do you ever get fed up?
I have to drag myself to the gym after. I can't be annoyed, but
do you ever feel like every fucking
just wake up and you're just like, I can't be annoyed with this, but you go, I play mind tricks on myself. I be like, can't be annoyed, but then you go, what are you doing it for? You ask yourself questions, you know what I mean? What are you doing it for? What's the outcome? What's the benefits? Do you know what I mean? And that end goal for me is to be the first Black Irish world champion. So I just fit.
I was gonna say it. It's never been done.
No, never been done.
Yeah, that'd be good, mate.
I just envision that, me achieving my dreams, and that gets me out of bed in the morning.
So see, when you say struggle from here to go and get that energy, see 5 minutes in the training, it's not work for you, it's like, that's you settled in, it's what you love.
The hardest part of any, like, anything, is going there, whether it's work, whether it's gym, do you know what I mean, whether it's coming here to do a podcast. Hardest thing is, oh, can I be annoyed to go and do this? As soon as you're out of bed, or as soon as you're out of the house, and you're there, it's okay, do you know what I mean? Like, as soon as I get up, the worst thing I hate is running. I hate running.
It's boring, isn't it?
A lot of boxers
I
hate
did a 10K
running.
Yesterday for the first time in a while, and I set my alarm for 6 o'clock in the morning. Woke up and turned it off, turned 3 alarms off, went right up, get up 7:30. Woke up at 7:30, turned my alarm off, and I'm going back to bed. I can't
do
not got,
I do that every day.
I've not got no fight date, nothing. I don't even need to run. And then I woke up properly, and I was like, what am I doing? Like, just leave the house. See, as soon as you leave the house, do you know what I mean? It's your main playing tricks on you is if you don't want to do it, or as soon as you leave the house, you're fine. Like, as soon, I love running when I'm actually out there. I hate the thought of running, do you know what I mean? So it's just your main playing tricks on you.
Keep no kids in, eh? Not no time soon.
Nah, do you know what? I think it would be unfair to have kids right now because I'm away in Liverpool or I'm away training. Mm-hmm. So, like, I think it would be unfair on my partner to be having to kind of raise a kid on her own for long periods of time, do you know what I mean? And I think it would probably affect me because it probably motivate me even more to achieve what I want to achieve, but I think it would affect me being like, oh, I want to be home, and you're missing like birthdays, you're missing them first few years or whatever else, and it's hard, do you know what I mean? Like, being away, I miss people, my friends and family's birthdays, my own birthday, do you know what I mean? Special occasions, whether it's Christmas, whether it's like Halloween or Easter or St. Paddy's, like, you miss all these things. So I think with a kid, I would want to be a part of it all, do you know what I mean? So
to be a champion, you do have to sacrifice a lot, don't you?
You have to sacrifice a lot.
I know a lot of boxers who, good boxers, or would have been good MMA fighters, but they get a girl, and then once they get a girl, like a two-cunt, they're missing training sessions, and eating Chinese's, and then it's
That's why a lot of them do their training camps outside of being close to that there, and go to Scotland, and isn't it?
That's why I chose to go away. I chose to go away because I was like, I want to give myself the best opportunity to achieve what I want to achieve so that I can't live with regrets, because I don't want to look back in 30 years' time or 20 years' time and be like, oh, I should have did this or I should have did that. Do you know what I mean? I can look back, be like, I dedicated myself. I had the sacrifices. I mean, I lived in London for 4.5 years. I lived in Liverpool and wherever next brings me. I did it, and if I don't achieve what I want to achieve, I'm going to be like, I tried my best, and that's all I can do. Do you know what I mean? As far as if I just stayed home and kind of let the distractions get to me and was just, I don't want to say hours and be disrespectful to other fighters that are back home, because it might benefit them, and some of them have kids and they're able to manage that and fight back home, and some of them are doing brilliant. But for me, I don't think it would suit me. So I think I can look back and just be like, live with no regrets, and I did what I wanted to do to try and achieve my dreams, and if it doesn't work out, I'm not regretful, do you know what I mean?
You still are young, 27.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
I've had a couple of punches. So.
See, your last fight was that the Troy Williamson fight?
No, I fought. That was December. I've just fought there. I fought the Throne Card.
Yes, the Throne Card. Just there. So why is it like? Is there just like a grey area now, where it's just like you're waiting on getting a fight, or is there any talk?
I was saying with Matchroom and Eddie Hearn, and the Troy fight was my last on the deal. But for whatever reason, we didn't re-sign a new contract.
So you're not with Eddie no more?
No, I'm a free agent at the moment.
That's a question. Is
there politics behind that? You don't have to get into it, but was he with on that same one you were with, your man Troy?
No, he wasn't signed with Matchroom, but Eddie was coming out saying that I was turning the Troy fight down, which he shouldn't be doing as my promoter. Do you know what I mean? He should be backing me, not Troy. And also, it was complete lies that I wasn't turning the Troy fight down. I got surgery in my hand, had one fight, come back, and I got surgery in the 2nd of February, fought in May when I shouldn't have fought because I went back to camp way too soon and then hurt my hand again. Fought anyway, won, and then I had said, right, I'm going to let my hand heal, give me one fight, and then I'll fight Troy by the end of the year anyway. They didn't want to give me the one fight in between. I fought Troy anyway, but
he tried to pull that up in the press conference, didn't he? Troy, I remember what
I can remember.
He's trying to say that obviously Eddie was trying to say I turned it down, but it didn't, you know what I mean? So, and I fought him and I beat him. You know
was he one of Eddie's fighters too?
No, he wasn't. He wasn't same with Matchroom, no.
Does that happen?
Two fighters from the same promotion. Probably easier to make fights that way, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's no bad blood between Josh and Ando at all.
No.
See more.
There's no... People create...
Sales of fate, doesn't it?
Because it sells fate, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I understand Troy had to call me out because he was in a standstill where no one wanted to fight him, and he's thinking, who's one of the best in my weight that I think I'll beat? And he probably thought he'd beat me, but also he gets a payday, he creates a bit of attention for himself and amongst the fight, so I get it. Like, but I said that I actually did an interview with Tommy McCarthy after, and I was like, he was like, what do you think about Troy calling you out? And I was like, I understand it. Closed mouths don't get fed, but an open mouth will get your jaw broke. So be very careful. Do you know what I mean? So you can look at it. I'm someone who goes about my business respectfully. Do you know what I mean? I don't like to call people out, and I don't like to do too much talking. I let my boxing ability do that in the ring. There may be a day, I've always said, there may be a day where I might need to start calling people out and make fights happen, because I understand boxing. But for now, I like to be respectful. I think boxing's a tough sport, you know what I mean? You're putting your life on the line every time you step through them roads, and I don't feel like you need to go out and disrespect someone and create fake beef to get a fight, you know what I mean?
Nah, you're right, mate. I watched Anto's undercard press conference yesterday, and the two fellas were bigger, and it was just cringy. They were just like really trying to create something.
You know, Josh Kelly was it? And
the guy was sitting at Josh, and Josh was just sitting there, and whoever he was, I don't know why, this is cringy, like, we're just trying.
I understand it. Like, the thing is, nowadays in boxing, it's not a sport. Boxing isn't a sport. It's a business and entertainment. And that's the thing where people need to realise that that's why people talk shit.
I think McGregor started a lot of that, didn't he?
Yeah. Mayweather was the first to do it, Then you go back, Muhammad Ali talks shit, do you know what I mean? So, with social media nowadays, you know what I mean, you need to create that a bit of attention, a bit of hype, and get followers, and get likes, and interactions, and...
It was different, wasn't it?
Do you know what I mean? So that's why people nowadays talk a lot of shit, and I don't care about all that. I don't care about followers, likes. I appreciate anybody that follows me and supports me.
Yeah.
It means the world to me. But I'm not out. I want to become the first Black Irish world champion. I don't box for anything else. I don't box for money. I don't box for fame. I don't box for celebrity status. Anything like that. It's to become the first Black Irish world champion and hopefully retire after that.
Oh, you're
going to do it, mate. You will.
Money comes with it. Do you know what I mean? You get people who's out there that just want to be famous or want love that professional boxing status. That's not me. I don't really care about all that. You know
I can tell, mate. You're very, very humble. Like,
who is your favourite boxer?
Roy Jones Jr. Like, as in all time. It's a tough one, but like, I grew up watching Roy Jones Jr., Muhammad Ali, and Tyson, and then from like this generation would have probably been Floyd Mayweather. I was always like focused on fighters that were defensive minded. Even people think you say Horace Tyson defensive minded. Look at his head movement. Obviously Muhammad Ali just on the back foot, same as what you call Roy Jones Jr.
What do you think about him fighting Jake Paul?
It's fucking madness, that is, isn't it?
It's crazy. Like, it's
Jake Paul win, won't he? They wouldn't take that unless
if he hurt that old man. Like,
if he didn't win, like, there's something wrong. He's a fucking 60-year-old man.
You should comment. Call him. You would get fucking big payday for that. Like,
I know, so that's a new thing, the crossover thing. Why not? I want to fight fucking, I don't know.
Did you take Tommy Fury, wouldn't you? No. You need a free one for you, like.
Do you know what? Like, people always say Aussies influencers coming into boxing and making money and doing this. Like, I've been boxing my whole life and I don't get the much money they do, and I've been putting the work in. And I understand it. As a boxer, I understand it. Like, they're getting the opportunities. But I also understand that they got famous of free platforms. YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter. That's where they become famous. You have the exact same platform to promote yourself as much as you want to try and get to that status. And if you don't, that's on you. Do you know what I mean? If you're going to complain about what they're doing. And I get it. Like, I have no problem with somebody coming into the sport to try and make money. Because who am I to take or have a judgment on someone trying to put food on the table for themselves and their family? The thing I don't like about the crossover boxing is coming into the sport and disrespecting the fighters that have actually dedicated their whole life to it. Through the amateurs, to the pros, to the ups and downs. Do you know what I mean? I don't like that part of it. Do you know what I mean? So in terms of like coming into boxing to make a few quid, who cares? Like, do you know what I mean? Who cares? Just stay in your own lane. Do you know what I mean? Just stay in the crossover boxing with YouTubers. It's not boxing. Do you know what I mean?
Do you don't think Jake will do well at all in the proper ring?
Well, he fought Tommy Fury, right? And Tommy Fury, like, I'd be friendly enough with Tommy. But
do you know him?
I know him. Yeah, he wouldn't mind me saying this. He's a novice pro. Tommy Fury is a novice pro. No amateur fights, very little boxing experience, just because of who his brother and his family is.
Yeah.
It was Love Island made him too, wasn't
it? Exactly. Tommy Fury is an novice pro and beat Jake Paul. Imagine Jake Paul actually fought a legitimate cruiserweight boxer.
Paulie McCrory.
Oh, is that who he would be fighting?
Paulie's a weight below him, but Paulie was still not in cleaner.
He's delusional. I want him to meet a boxer. And just,
like, you kind of have to be delusional, though. You have to believe your own hype.
He fights big time MMA stars. He can punch. Is it Tyrone Woodley? He can fucking throw a punch, like, and he fucking knocked him out. He beat him twice.
I always think that stage, like, I.
Because I seen a video, and apparently, did you see that video? So his hand goes like that, and then when he throws the punch, it's the punch that knocks Woodley out, and loads of people are saying, That's the move, Woody knows he needs to drop here.
You'll never know.
It could be balls too.
You'll never know, but I just think if it was legitimate, it just makes MMA look bad, UFC, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not a mockery on boxing, it's a mockery on that, because I don't believe they would ever come into boxing and beat a legitimate boxer, do you know what I mean? So he would actually struggle against the toughest journeyman.
They can take a beating. What is it? They're not allowed to fight for 3 months? Is that what it...
Who?
A journeyman, so can they fight every what?
They can fight twice a week, for fuck's sake.
Can they?
Right, but they can only, if they get knocked out, that's why they're so tough. So if they get knocked out, then they can't fight. Can't be in the gym for 28 days, do you know what I mean? So that's why they're so tough, and you never see like top journeymen get stopped, because they're so hard to stop. That's how they make a living, by fighting week on week.
Kim, what would a journeyman get? About a grand?
Couple of grand here and there.
Like, they're probably getting, it depends who they're fighting, and depends how many rounds and what shows it's on, do you know what I mean? I fought a journeyman my last fight, just because I've been inactive. It was a change of opponent last second on the Thursday before the fight. I'd have said he probably got 3-4 grand max.
Bollocks.
I don't know, but I would say no more than 5 grand. And he's got to pay, obviously, his team out of that, like his manager, his coaches, you know what I mean? So I don't know the ins and outs of what they're exactly paid, but I'd say it'd be in and around that. And then obviously, if it's on bigger shows like a Matchroom or a Queensbury show, they're probably paid a bit more, do you know what I mean?
He'd be getting near the same as like as a basic UFC fighter. Apparently, when they're going in, they're getting 5 grand.
I know a UFC fighter who is well on in their career in UFC, unbeaten. I'm not going to name names, but a friend of mine. And the UFC offered him a contract, 12 grand to show up and 12 grand to win. So he got 24 grand if he won. He was, in the other promotion that he was on, he was getting hundreds of thousands. Getting like 100 grand for his next fight. And the UFC, but because the UFC is a bigger name and a bigger attraction, they're like, well, you come with us and you win a couple of fights, then you're on the big money. But I don't think it should be that way. It's like, I don't think the way this UFC is, like the UFC don't let fighters have sponsors.
Did he go to PFL? No. He'll fight for £1 million in a competition here. See, if he went to UFC, he wouldn't have got fucking nowhere near that. He wouldn't have got a fight again until he's in rank fucking 3 or something.
So they just use people.
Paul Hughes is one of the best in the world.
Paul Hughes is an absolute... He's a gent, but he's an absolute animal.
So this is the first time he's been in as an underdog. So see, when you fight a journeyman, there's a part of you not be going, fuck, I'm under pressure here in case I lose this cunt here.
No matter who you're against, you're always like, what if? But my mentality is, whether it's a journeyman, whether it's a world champ, whether it's someone who's ranked above me, below me, my main focus is just win. Just win. Don't, like, obviously you want to win by knockout or you want to impress, but my main objective is just win. Just get the win.
How quick in a fight can you tell you've got the beating of someone when you get in and fight the first round right away?
I'll know if it's going to be a hard or easy fight first
round. Can he?
Yeah.
What's like a given saying? Like, is it just
certain. For me, I read fighters well. Like, one of my best attributes would be my boxing IQ, being able to adapt in a fight. I think, like, you just see movements that they're doing, whether they're slow, whether they're strong, whether they're fast, good foot movement. You pick up on these things and you'd be like, right, this might trouble me, so I need to do this. Do you know what I mean?
Stay here and I'll be all right.
My last fight, he was journeyman, but he was 3 weights above me, which shouldn't have been allowed, but he was 3 weights above me. He was a lot stronger than me. So after the first round, I was like, it's going to be a piss in the water, do you know what I mean? And then the second round, I got caught with something. I went, right, he's really strong. Don't get caught with that. Just don't give him an opportunity. But he had slow hands, slow feet, didn't move his head. So I was just like, I know what I need to do now. Do you know what I mean? Just keep it simple. Just do what you do well, but don't get complacent. Don't get caught with something silly and you win the fight. That's what I did. Do you know what I mean? If you watch the fight, it wasn't my best performance, but I just boxed and moved because he was so much bigger than me and physically stronger.
Do you get nervous?
Nah, it's my one. I think that's my one downfall. If you look at any of my fights, I always start slow because I don't get nervous. I'm too relaxed, too comfortable. And I don't know whether that's just because I've boxed for 20 years or whatnot, but I know loads of fighters do. I actually try to make myself nervous in the changing room. I like psychologically go through scenarios that could happen in the fight to get me that bit nervous, because nerves are good for you. Like, obviously you don't want to be over nervous, but controlled nerves are good for you, do you know what I mean? Because they make you alert, they make you on point, do you know what I mean? But getting an adrenaline rush and stuff, but I'm never really nervous.
Are you 12 rounds yet? No.
10. Could, like, my next couple of fights could be 12, it just depends.
Who's at the top end where you want to get to, like, in the world? Who's ranked the highest?
I think there's 4 belts, but I think the toughest fight would be Terence Crawford. Like, fuck that.
Who's a couple of names maybe in and around where he is, yeah?
Excluding
your own name, Marcus.
You got Terence Crawford, you got Tim Zhu, Earl Spence, Earl Spence just moving up to Miami, and then you got like a guy called Fandora in the UK, probably like Josh Kelly, but he's just moved up the middleweight. This fight here is a middleweight, so Josh Kelly, you got the guy he's fighting, Ismael Davis, Troy Williamson, in and around you've got like Chris Eubank Jr. and
they'd be like domestic fights, you call them?
I don't like to call them domestic fights because I'm Irish, you know what I mean? Like, as far as a domestic fight for them would be like a British fight versus British, do you know what I mean? Like, for me, a domestic fight would be, say, if you talk to me against Paddy, if we were the same weight. Domestic, but people call it domestic, but I just don't like it. the weight class is stacked with talent and tough.
Maybe one, can you say?
Anyone? You can call someone out there,
no.
I'm sure you've seen our dates, bro, eh?
People always say to me, like, call people out, you're too respectful, but it's just not me. Like, I don't even look at the weight class. Like, I just name five fighters that probably are the best in the world. I can tell you anyone else are in the weight because I focus on myself and who's next. Who I want next is who's in my way of getting to the top, do you know what I mean? So whoever I've got to come through.
If you're ranked 10, then 10.
And if I can get a fight with whoever would want me, that's who I want, do you know what I mean? Because they're my way of becoming a world champion. So I don't look and be like, yeah, that style is what I want because he'll be an easier fight.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
If it's a hard fight, so be it. I just want who's next, whoever's in the way of me achieving my dreams.
Will you fight before Christmas?
I hope so, but...
What about Paulie's card?
Yes. I was... don't know.
What win is that?
6 weeks. 6 weeks tomorrow, I think.
How long does a camp last?
You need... My last fight was only a six-week camp.
Just trying to work it out here.
Yeah, it's ideal. 10 weeks is ideal.
10
to 12 weeks, I like to have. But yeah, I'd love to be on that show, do you know what I mean? Like... It was a Conlon boxing show last time I was on with Tyrone and stuff, and I was thankful that Jamie got me on the show and enjoyed it. And yeah, it was great to fight back home and fight in the Odyssey. I don't know if I'll be on.
See, just going up and down that Falls Road, see the many talented fighters there is, like from the bottom to the top. Like, fucking
Sean McComb,
Mick Conlon, Anto, you,
Anto, like, Lewis Crocker.
Oh, fuck. It's the best in Ireland. Yeah. It's Ireland.
This is the best time it's ever, like, boxing's ever been. Do you know what I mean? You've got so many talented fighters coming from the north, south. Do you know what I mean?
But there's no, like, from Dublin to Belfast fucking has far more, don't it?
I'd say there's a lot more coming out of Belfast than there is Dublin, but it's like, you got Gary Cully, Piers O'Leary, there's a guy in my way, Colin Wallace, that's doing well. He's actually fighting tomorrow. He's signed by the UFC.
That's right, Dan Wade. So where I was telling
that. Is it?
So he's my weight, so you've got, like, them as very good fighters as well, but I think they're boxing in Belfast is probably booming at the moment, and
there's a lot of them in that same sort of weight, as you say, Pierce O'Leary, Tyrone, Gary, Sean,
they're all around about the same weight.
Is your wee man Ben Williams any good?
Is he another?
Is he an or like? Pro? Is he an or not like? Even fucking, pro is he an or like a Tommy Fury?
I don't know Ben's background, whether he boxed before or how he got into it. I know that he's doing misfit boxing, but I don't.
Is that what a misfit? Or is that what I thought it was? I thought he was proper boxer. No.
I don't. I couldn't tell you, to be honest with you, but. I like Ben, he's a nice guy, and
he's a DJ, and he's a pretty boy, and he's just like...
Nice guy, he was my last camp there, he came over and he was friendly with Dennis McCann, who I would train with, and he came and did a track session with us, and he's a really nice guy down the earth, like, and yeah, he seems to be doing his own thing.
Dennis, is he a traveller? He's good, him.
Like, Dennis is very, very good, very good.
Would he be older than you, Keem?
No, Dennis is only like 22, 23, he's only a kid.
He's like he's been around for
fucking
years. I know,
because he turned
years.
Pro at 18 when he was very young, so he's obviously always been around, and he's... Dennis loves a chat, you know what I mean? As most travellers do, like, they talk the talk, but he's definitely one that walks the walk as well. Mm-hmm. He trains extremely hard, and he's a very talented fighter.
Is there any travellers up here fighting?
I don't think so.
Not up
just north,
not up north, I don't think so,
nah. Nah?
There would have been a lot of travellers. Amateur?
Like, Joe Ward's still boxing, like, I don't know if you know who Joe Ward
is. Is he still boxing the heavyweight?
He's fighting this week.
Is he still amateur?
Pro. Joe Ward's pro. He's fighting soon, I think in a couple of weeks, or this weekend, next weekend. I don't know when it was, I seen the poster of it, but he's fighting soon, and he's unbelievable, Joe Ward. Like,
he was always like the elite Irish heavyweight, wasn't he?
He's probably one of the best Irish fighters of all time, like, mm-hmm. Or he'll go down as one of them anyway.
He was calling out, it's an English traveller, Tyson Fury's dad.
Joe Egan.
Do you ever see some of them traveller call-outs? They're mad as fuck.
He fought Tyson, though, didn't he?
Did he?
Joe Egan, oh, why? He'd blather fucking your man, Fury.
Fury's dad.
He's a dickhead, your man. Have you met John, have you?
Yeah, I've met him, but I'm not a big fan of him. Like, I'm not, I don't like the way he kind of tries to steal his son's spot.
Yeah, both of them,
but not even that there. It's just like, you're an old man, have a bit of respect about yourself, like headbutting people and, do you know what I mean? And doing all these antics, like, and like, I just don't think it's right. I think you should have a bit of respect about yourself and conduct yourself in the right way. Like, your son's the best, was the best boxer in the world, do you know what I mean? You don't need to go and create hype around him. He already has hype around him, do you know what I mean? He's the best boxer in the world, do you know what I mean? At heavyweight, like, heavyweight's the, like, everyone wants to see heavyweight. It's the top of boxing, and he's the best, and you're running around like a clown, do you know what I mean? So,
if you're your AJ, who do you think won that one?
Oh, it's a tough one. I think right now, AJ. We'll see how tomorrow night goes for AJ, but...
Based on that, tomorrow night, AJ. What's your prediction on that?
AJ.
They've sparred and all, haven't they?
Is he from England too, is he?
Aye, both of them from England, yeah. But I'd say AJ, but when you're fighting, when you're 17, 18 stone, 19 stone men fighting each other, all it takes is one.
Oh, could you imagine getting the punch by one of them boys? Like, fucking,
you'd be out before he even hit you. You know what I mean? You wouldn't even feel it.
It was his last fight, Francis Ngannou. He did, but there, see, against Fury, Ngannou won that fight.
I think Fury took it for granted.
He did,
close fight. I think I thought Fury won.
Did you?
I thought Fury won. Just if you scored the way, like, a fight's meant to be scored, I know, like, the public have their own vision of how they score a fight. And like, listen, the fans pay the boxers' bills, you know what I mean? You put bums in seats, they pay the bills. But I thought Fury won. I only actually gave Ngannou 3 rounds, including the knockdown. I just thought Fury was landing the cleaner punches. Ngannou was probably trying to work harder, but he wasn't scoring with anything, do you know what I mean? Other than the knockdown, as well as Fury was boxing and moving. But it, like I said, it was very, very close. I do believe it could have went either way, do you know what I mean? And thankfully...
He was always going to get...
Unless he knocked Fury out, I don't think Ngannou was going to get the decision.
Do you think Fury can turn over the Usyk defeat if they fight again? Or when they do?
Usyk's class, isn't he?
Just different.
Just different, really. Like, different. I think he could. I thought Fury would have, or I thought Usyk would have won the first fight.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Usyk, and just his boxing ability, his movement.
What is it? It's just
his footwork and movement. And he's really awkward. It's just like patterns, you know what I mean? He's so good, but I do believe if there's anyone to beat Usyk, it's Fury. I don't think Joshua beats him unless he knocks him out. Mm-hmm. But I don't like boxing. If it was to go 12 rounds, I just believe that the only person that can beat him is Fury. Like,
do you ever see that fight happening between AJ and Fury?
I think it has to. I think it'd be sad for the fans if it didn't.
Mm-hmm.
It would have to happen in London, wouldn't it? Like, they can have that in Saudi, and that's a fairly guy, but that's where the money is for them heavyweights. That's where the
money is, exactly. So, but I don't even know why I have it in Saudi. Like, it's the Saudis paying for it anyway. Surely you're going to make more money in England than you are in Saudi Arabia for, like, putting it in Wembley Stadium where it holds 90 to 100,000. Like,
because they're setting all that up there, aren't they?
They're setting all stadiums up there. It's only small stadiums, though, do you know what I mean? And it's very quiet. There's no drinking allowed. There's no this, that, and the other.
No atmosphere at all.
No atmosphere. It'd be hard to box there, like, but I think it should happen. I think, don't know whether it will, but I think it should. Like,
did you see the slabs that was in watching? Was it Fury and Ngannou? Eminem and Ronaldo,
everyone.
Fucking Meg Tyson. Did you see it, Craig?
Aye.
They had, like, every goat was there. Like, was that the one Anto met Ronaldo?
Aye, was it? Yeah. Well, it might have been. No, it was the one after.
Because he went to show.
The one that he fought in the music card, the music Fury card, didn't he? Anto. So it would have been that one.
Have you fought? You've done your first year of fighting away from home and here, haven't you? Like, half and half.
Yeah.
Would you want to headline or SSE?
That's the plans, yeah. Like, that's my dream, the headline shows back home. My dream is to headline, like, Casement Park if it's built. I
didn't even get the go ahead, so didn't
I know, but I think it will be.
That was for the funding, they're gonna build it.
I think they're gonna build it. They said the British government aren't giving the funding after they said that they would, but I've always envisioned, like, from a young kid, like, if Casement was built again, that would be where I want to headline a show, because I used to go to Casement, watch a Gaelic and hurling, and run about Andy Town, do you know what I mean?
Up on your doorstep,
past Casement, so that'll be a dream of mine. But I think, like, even headlining in Falls Park or the Odyssey, like, Falls Park's literally facing my granny's house, like, coming out of Turf Lodge, you know,
stone throw away from it,
literally, do you know what I mean? So, and I boxed for Holy Trinity for 14 years, which is stone throw away, so that'll be a dream of mine. But
Did you have you fought in the field? No, the any field cards.
Never fought.
Did you never get one?
No, I never fought in the field.
See the one McCannum fought, the one he. TJ? It was done amazing. Like it was fucking class. But it was a year later. It wasn't as good. But when Mick wasn't on it wasn't as good.
The atmosphere is unbelievable at it, and the do you know what I mean? Like 10,000 people in the Falls Park.
What's it? I think in Belfast after Frampton, the famous Knights of Frampton always put on. We're nearly relying on the next person who's going to give us the big Knights back again. And there's only a couple there. So no pressure, Kim.
I know, no pressure. But you know what? Like, I always say, no matter what, like, I think the Irish fans are the best. Like, North and South are the best in the world. Like, the Catholic, Protestant,
that's what I always get. Do you get both sides?
Both sides, supporting, do you know what I mean?
Frampton gets it too.
Exactly, and, like, I have so many, like, I'm a Catholic and so many Protestant friends and people that don't even know me that buy tickets, and obviously, people from the community around here just buy tickets that I don't like, just know of me, and they're always supporting. Do you know what I mean? So I think the Irish fans and the Northern Irish fans are the best in the world.
So no dates anywhere, and you can see your back.
No dates, but I hope before the end of the year. Do you know what I mean? Maybe shout out Jamie Collin, get me on the show 6 weeks. You know what I mean? I sell tickets. You know what I mean? So
yeah, I'm sure there, Jamie.
I'll be ready for that. But just training, taking over at the moment, and ready to go whenever I get a call. I've been talking to my manager every day. Just I need to be out before the end of the year. And activities kind of kill me at the moment, so I just want to be active and push on. Do you know what I mean? But
you shouldn't be like inactive the way you are. Like,
do you want to? Do you want to keep him?
No,
fuck
no, wailing, lad. No,
I've done boxing training before. Circuits, and that was the end of the act. Like, that was enough.
No, do you know what? Like, I don't want to cry over spilt milk, but like coming off the Troy fight, the biggest fight in my career, where nobody wanted to fight Troy. So many people turned the fight down. People were saying I was turning the fight down against him. I took the fight. I went in and beat him comfortably. And to have no opportunities after that is insane.
Shit, like,
but like I said, listen, you look at Anto, do you know what I mean? He's had 7 fights in 7 years or something, do you know what I mean?
Alex!
7 fights in 7 years,
people,
do you know what I mean?
Like, outside of boxing, people don't even, a lot of people here don't even know Anto until he beat Cardina there.
Exactly, do you know what I mean? So, like, it's hard for boxers when you're not active because you ever have to work where you have to rely on sponsors to back your career and keep you in training camps and keep you taking over.
Do you have much sponsors?
Nah, I don't even. Like, I had a couple until the Troy fight, and then for whatever reason, I've lost a few sponsors. Just,
I mean, any sponsors watching, get on.
Get on there, Australia. He's going to be the next world champion.
If you want to sponsor the podcast, go ahead.
Exactly. If you want to sponsor the podcast, get on. We can create a deal here between both podcast and boxing. Exactly. But then, do you know what, as well? People don't realize it. Sponsorship's tax deductible as well, do you know what I mean? Like, it's a business expense.
I don't know if it should be saying this, but see, Praise Guy, like, he sponsors fucking everyone. Yeah, Big John. Like,
I've did some with him before.
He's a big Chinese guy. He's not Chinese, he's the Chinese. But he had him over, he must be sponsoring him. He sponsors fucking Paul Hughes, he sponsors all of them.
And fair play to him, because he's probably the only one that's really doing it, that's backing people from his careers, do you know what I mean? Because it's so hard for athletes to, like the sacrifices that I made to go away and train. You need sponsors to be paying you. Obviously, they get their promotion out of it, so it's obviously good for them because they're on social media platforms, on your shorts, on TV, all this, that, and the other, and they can also put it through their books. If you don't have that as an athlete, like I said earlier, people might have to stay home and work and fight, do you know what I mean, and juggle being a full-time athlete with working, because if you don't have that and you're not getting the opportunities as well as that, then you've got no income, do you know what I mean? And it's hard. So fair play to the Prize guys, because there's so many fighters I see that they're sponsoring and they're doing great things, you know what I mean? They're supporting athletes from Northern Ireland and Ireland, so fair play to them, they're doing a good job.
A boxer doesn't get paid then until after his fight as well. So that's why you rely on the sponsors.
So yeah, exactly. So a sponsor, monthly sponsor, keeps you as a full-time athlete, do you know what I mean? Because everyone has bills to pay, do you know what I mean? So if you don't have sponsorship, you know, you've no income. If you're fighting, say you've had a 12-week training camp. Training camp, like, say for me, I pay for accommodation, flights, my food, my S&C, just anything that comes with camp, massages, all this, right?
Gyms, massage bonus, is it?
all these fees that you have to pay, do you know what I mean? Fight kit cost thousands of pounds, do you know what I mean? And then next thing, your opponent pulls out or something.
That happens all the time, doesn't it?
You get an injury, all that money's gone.
That happened to Anto quite a few times.
Anto, do you know what I mean? Like, Anto had to go back to work, so all that money's gone, and people don't see that, do you know what I mean? So you need sponsors to help you become a full-time athlete, because if that happens, then you're not paid after the fight. You only paid if you fight.
Well, hopefully we'll get you one. We'll
get a fight soon, though, so we'll do it. If not, I'll down there. All these fights outside Caffrey's anyway.
me and Pepper would have to be going to the next fight. Mate, it was nice having you on.
We're all right.
Great to be on. I've watched some of yourself in this.
Jamie Conlon, get this fella off the fight. Fuck.
But yeah, no, thanks for having me on.
No sweat, mate.
We'll probably call it get into a lot. We'll probably call it on even more about the younger years growing up and all, but we didn't even have to.
Good mom, mate. Thanks very
much. Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.